From behind his monocle, Count Olaf's eyes grew even shinier, as they often did when he was looking down on the helpless Baudelaires. The children felt as if his eyes were a pair of lit matches about to burn them to a crisp.
"Orphans in!" he said.
"I know orphans are in," Esme said, ignoring Olaf's improper grammar. "In fact, they're so in, they ought to be auctioned off next week at the big event."
"Esme," Jerome said, "I'm shocked. We're not going to auction off these children."
"Of course we're not," Esme said. "It's against the law to auction off children. Oh, well, come along, Günther. I'll give you a full tour of our apartment. Jerome, take the children to Café Salmonella."
"But we haven't even introduced them," Jerome said. "Violet, Klaus, Sonny, meet Günther, the auctioneer we were talking about earlier. Günther, meet the newest members of our family."
"I am happy to meet you, please,"
Olaf said, reaching out one of his scraggly hands.
"We've met before,"
Violet said, happy to see that the element of surprise was fading away, and that she was finding the courage to speak up.
"Many times before. Jerome and Esme, this man is an impostor. He's not Günther, and he's not an auctioneer. This is Count Olaf."
"I am not understanding, please, what the orphan is saying,"
Olaf said.
"Please, I am not fluent in the English language, please."
"Yes, you are,"
said Klaus, who also found himself feeling more courageous than surprised.
"You speak English perfectly."
"Why, Klaus, I'm surprised at you," Jerome said. "A well-read person such as yourself should know he made a few grammatical errors."
"Warren!"
Sonny shrieked.
"My sister is right," Violet said. "His improper English is just part of his disguise. If you make him take off his boots, you'll see his tattoo. And if you make him take off his monocle, his brow will unfurrow. And
Günther is one of the innest auctioneers in the world," Esme said impatiently.
"He told me so himself. I'm not going to make him get undressed just to make you feel better. Now shake Günther's hand, and go off to dinner, and we'll say no more about it."
"He's not Günther, I tell you," Klaus cried. "He's Count Olaf."
"I am not knowing what you are saying, please,"
Count Olaf said, shrugging his scrawny shoulders.
"Esme,"
Jerome said hesitantly,
"how can we be sure this man is really who he says he is? The children do seem quite alarmed.
Perhaps we should listen to me,"
Esme said, pointing one long-nailed finger at herself.
"I am Esme Gigi Genevieve Squalor, the city's sixth most important financial advisor. I live on Dark Avenue, and I am unbelievably wealthy."
"I know that, dear," Jerome said. "I live with you."
"Well, if you want to continue to live with me, you will call this man by his proper name,
and this goes for you three children as well.
I go to the trouble of buying you some smashing pinstripe suits, and you start accusing people of being in disguise."
"It is okay, please,"
Count Olaf said. "The children are confused." "We're not confused, Olaf,"
Violet said. Esme turned to Violet and gave her an angry glare.
"You and your siblings will call this man Günther," she ordered, "or you will make me very, very sorry I took you into my glamorous home."
Violet looked at Klaus and then at Sonny and quickly made a decision. Arguing with somebody is never pleasant, but sometimes it is useful and necessary to do so. Just the other day, for example, it was useful and necessary for me to have an unpleasant argument with a medical student, because if he hadn't let me borrow his speedboat, I would now be chained inside a very small waterproof room, instead of sitting in a typewriter factory, typing out this woeful tale. But Violet realized that it was neither useful nor necessary to argue with Esme, because her guardian had clearly made up her mind about Günther. it would be more useful and necessary to leave the penthouse and try to figure out what to do about the reappearance of this dreadful villain, instead of standing there and bickering over what name to call him. So Violet took a deep breath and smiled up at the man who had brought so much trouble into the Baudelaire lives.
"I'm sorry, Gunther,"
she said, almost choking on her false apology.
"But..."
Klaus started to argue, but Violet gave him a look that meant the Baudelaires would discuss the matter later, when there weren't any adults around.
"That's right,"
he said quickly, understanding his sister's glance at once. "We thought you were someone else, sir,